Welcome to Your Life Reset, a Virta Health podcast series. I'm your host, Teresa Link, and in this series, we'll hear from people on their Virta journey, the wins, failures, moments of adversity, and moments of joy they're experiencing along the way. So sit back, relax, and listen as we unwrap the truly human experience of Virta. Hey there, listeners. Welcome back. I'm Teresa Link, and this is another episode of Your Life Reset. Today's guest is Dr. Brittany Volk, Executive Director of the Ketogenic Foundation. She's a registered dietitian with her PhD in exercise science and kinesiology. She spent over 15 years dedicating her career to translating scientific evidence into real-world solutions. And these solutions help improve health and overall quality of life. Among her many superpowers, Dr. Britt can cut through the noise of social media and help us separate science from hype. She's passionate, down to earth, and not afraid to bust a few myths along the way. You are going to love this one. Let's dig in. Welcome, Britt, one of my dearest colleagues. I'm just tickled that you're here.
Tickled. Thanks so much, Teresa. It's great to be back. Back here, yeah. Alberta.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're so excited for you to be on the show. And I really wanted to talk with you about this particular topic because I feel like you can tackle this in not only a science-based way, an evidence-based way, but also really fun. And let's just have like a fun and sciencey, you know, conversation at the same time. Before we get to all of that, I just want to say, you know, before you became the executive director of the Ketogenic Foundation, you spent more than a decade at Virta. So there are some people that are listening that know you like really, really well. But there are some people that don't know you at all. So why don't you tell us about yourself?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I miss a lot of my Virtans. But for starters, professionally, I'm a registered dietitian, nutrition scientist, really passionate advocate for patients looking to, you know, get to better health and really understand the why and how to get there. And I already gave it away a little bit, a teaser. I am a former Virtan. I was the first Virtan here at Virta. I co-authored the care guidelines with Dr. Steve Finney and Dr. Jeff Volek, and then held a number of roles across the organization for, as you said, over a decade, which sometimes it seems like it was just yesterday, and other times it feels like a lifetime ago. So many great memories, lots of opportunities, exciting things. But then, you know, moved on to my current role, which is in the nonprofit space, but very much aligned with what I have always been doing. You know, I've been researching low carbohydrate and ketogenic diets for over 15 years. We're coming up on 20 years now. I love the science of it. I really love getting the information to people. And what I get to do now is sort of amplify, you know, the work that Virta is doing, advancing the science and the medical practice of low carbohydrate and ketogenic nutrition. We have a lot of work to do, and I'm really excited to do that at the foundation.
Well, Britt, I think you are just like so perfect for the Ketogenic Foundation because one of your strengths is just building things from the ground up, you know, being just scrappy and it just kind of takes me back to, you know, you being the first employee at Virta and some of the very earliest memories, you know, that we had as part of the original team. One thing that I remember before I joined is you and what was it, like six other people maybe, like building the first starter kits yourselves and how, you know, how far things have come a decade later. I mean, we're talking about being really scrappy here. You're building the kits, literally.
I call myself a creative scientist because I love the science. I love bringing data to life in creative ways. And I love having kind of nothing and building something from it. Not nothing, right? Virta was founded on the science that had been done for decades. So it's not nothing, but the way that we bundled it, that's the creative piece, which to me was such a cool opportunity. And to be able to see it come to life and people's lives being changed. I mean,
we're going to switch gears and we're going to talk about, you know, social media hacks. You know, there's TikTok, there's Instagram, all of that. I don't think either of us
are on TikTok very much, right? I don't even know how to log in. So we'll talk more about just social media in general, probably a lot of stuff that you find on Instagram. But so we're going to talk about today health hacks. Everybody sees that there is some sort of thing that some influencer is saying, like, completely changes your life or can, you know, is the cure for all things. So I'm curious to find out, you know, some of the, first of all, what are some of the things that show up on your feed kind of regularly? Like, for me, it's three things: skincare, gentle parenting, and perimenopause.
How's gentle parenting going for you, Teresa? No, don't.
You know what?
No.
I do act differently around my kid.
I'm really into psychology and neuroscience and things for self-growth and communication skills and organizational tips. I mean, I'm all over the place, right? Which is very, if you want to learn a little more about me, that's me, right? A little bit of everything, a little all over. As I get older, physical therapy tips for, you know, maintaining my exercise routine as I maybe also have some injuries, you know, just like love all of that stuff. I also get a lot of nutrition related things, recipes. So I really love nutrition related things. And to be honest, I don't want to go down this path, but I've been following some of the more politically charged nutrition topics. Again, not getting into them, but I really love hearing all sides of the conversation. So I'm really intentional about trying to following conversations that people are having around various research topics. Like, that's really, I love that. And then LinkedIn to find out what's happening in the world of research and the market and what's Virta up to and what other, you know. So all over the place, but I do try.
Yeah. Our Instagram feeds are very different, and that's okay. That's all right. I'll try to follow a little bit more of your lead and I won't.
No, I think your daughter could use the gentle parenting is a really good one. I think that's
thank
good.
You.
I think you should stick to it.
Yes. It does make me feel guilty like all the time whenever I get these things on my feed. But anyway, they're helpful.
Listen, since we're on this topic, I would just love to know how many of the people giving these tips follow all of these tips themselves.
So let's have some fun and talk about some of these sample claims. Actually, before
I'm already having fun, but
oh, okay.
Your fun right. Once
I wasn't having fun yet. I'm going right, to have well, fun here soon.
So sorry.
But actually, before we talk about some of these sample claims, is there anything that you have seen that you feel like is like just plain dangerous or that could really lead people down a path that is harmful?
A lot, Teresa. How do you want me to just choose
one? Top two.
I mean, this probably wouldn't be the top, I would say. But do you remember when there was like the water challenge and like the idea of you have to drink a gallon of water?
I do.
Do you remember that? I mean, I think that was a while ago, but I definitely still see some of these things persist where these exact recommendations are being given, right? Like, eat this much protein or you're going to pretty much lose all your muscle, right? Like, first of all, anytime we're talking in extremes or giving specific amounts without considering the individual, red flag. I think I'm probably going to say the word red flag often.
That's fine.
Here's one. Low-carb diets are dangerous. If not done properly with careful consideration of certain nutrients.
Red flags that we'll see throughout these claims. There is one about ultra-high protein, and you kind of touched on that already, how, you know, everybody needs to consume like 150 grams of protein a day. Actually, I think this one was specific to women. Otherwise, you will lose all of like your fitness. And so what I'm hearing, you know, is again, that's a blanket statement that could be taken way out of context, but you have a follow-up to that.
I always have follow-ups. Let's dig in just a little bit to that, because this is how I don't want to say tear apart, because not every claim is wrong. And oftentimes there is some truth rooted in many claims, right? So protein is super important. No one's going to argue that. And if they argue that, run for the hills. They're not an expert, right? It's important for structures, functions of the body, like super important. Getting adequate amounts is really important. But what amount one needs is specific to their gender, their height, their activity level, their, you know, as potentially as they age. You know, there's just so many factors that play into it. I'm not a tall person, 5'1", right? I need a different amount than someone who's 6 feet tall, right? Mm-hmm, and so why would I be targeting the very same amount? It's like that age-old idea that everybody needs 1,200 calories for weight loss. And if I hear that one more time, I'm just going to lose my mind. You can't, you can't say that. So yeah, not a one-size-fits-all will be another theme as well. Okay. And making a claim that you must do this, like evoking a sense of urgency and, you know, this is it. Red flag.
All right. Another one I've heard is about, it's called fiber maxing. So you're supposed to load up on fiber at the minimum of 50 grams a day. That this will apparently regulate hormones, improve your skin, and detox your system, basically removing all ailments. Fiber maxing.
Interesting.
Go.
Interesting. I haven't heard the term fiber maxing. Don't love it.
Don't love that term either.
Immediately to me, it sounds gimmicky, right? And I think
it sounds painful.
That's the other thing. Yeah, fiber is great for digestion and it's super important. Gut health is important for sure. But to make the claim that it has all these direct effects on, you know, hormones, that would be an indirect connection. Skin health, again, potential connection with, you know, improved gut health, reduced inflammation, all of that. 50 grams, first of all, Teresa, you said it sounds painful. Of course. Let's say you have someone who's aiming for and successfully achieves, you know, the 25 to 30 that's typically recommended. Okay. Then you up your fiber intake, gas, bloating, especially if it's all of a sudden, up to 50 could be, to your point, Teresa, pretty painful. Mm-hmm. Then you consider someone who's actually not getting adequate fiber. Hearing fiber maxing, maybe the benefit would be they'll be more conscious of thinking about increasing their fiber intake. But again, going up to 50 grams per day, what I would say would be, where's the evidence?
I mean, if 50 is good, then, you know, I should be able to live to 150 if I'm eating 100 grams a day, right?
Well, and that's the danger, I think, that will come up probably in some other claims that you're going to point out is, well, if 50 is good, what about 100? What about 150? Where does it end? And is more better? Because that's what this is sort of supporting. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just a dangerous thought process in leading people down a path of too much. So I will stop there for the sake of all of our viewers and let you ask the next one.
Sounds good. We've got a couple more that I think are going to be kind of fun. Daily ice baths. So you're supposed to submerge yourself in an ice bath for 10 minutes a day, and that's going to burn an extra 500 calories. So like you can lose weight just by doing daily ice baths for 10 minutes a day. What do we think about that?
Wow. I mean, I could say the sky is red, but our I change it to blue and start to tell people that on social media, right?
Interesting segue there, but sure.
Here's the thing. Where is this coming from? I think the root of truth here would be that when you are submerged in cold water baths or cold in general, right, you do shiver and your metabolic rate in order, that thermogenesis in order to try to warm yourself up is going to burn some additional calories. 500 is equivalent to like running 5 miles or doing, you know, nearly an hour of high intensity workouts, right? Mm-hmm. So that is an extreme number. And I would say, where's the evidence?
So here's the claim. If you consume zero processed foods, wear raw crystal deodorant, and make your own toothpaste, you will be so healthy that you don't have to get any vaccines because your body will fight off any disease.
See, that's just dangerous. Right. I don't want to get into the vaccine debate, but, you know, some vaccines out there are to prevent highly communicable, highly dangerous diseases. Because I just think that's dangerous information that people may take and really think that it works. And again, I would need the evidence. I don't even understand the connection between making your own toothpaste and not needing vaccines. I just, yeah, the spreading of misinformation like that, where we take one bit of information and then connect it in ways where we don't have the evidence to support it, is really dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. These claims, and then the fact that, you know, how it jumps to vaccines just feels so bizarre to me. I'm curious, do you have any thoughts about where some of this movement might be coming from? Like with the, you know, what is it, the Generation A, maybe kind of slipping into Generation Z a little bit, like this movement to want to do everything, you know, completely natural and all of that. I'm curious where this is kind of coming from. I don't know if you had any thoughts on that.
Well, even in that sentence you just said, like everything completely natural. So what does that mean? If you fall sick, whatever it might be, and you end up in the hospital and they put you on medications. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, I never shy away from an awkward conversation, and I'm willing to, you know, debate and whatnot. And I think if more people would just be willing to go there, we'd find that we have more common ground than not. And I think we're getting away from the social media conversation maybe, but maybe we're not. Because even, like I said, something that you see from an influencer and you're like, absolutely not, that's ridiculous. Well, where is it rooted in some truth? Where is it coming from? And then what can we take from that? And, you know, you can learn something maybe from, like, maybe making your own toothpaste is a good idea. I don't know. I'd have to know more about it, right? But until I know more, I'm not going to say it's a bad idea, but I'm not going to say that if you do it, you don't need any vaccines.
There you have it. There you have it. last question for you. We're moving on from the claims because, again, we could do this for hours because it's just it's fun and kind of funny as well. Mm-hmm. As people are kind of scrolling through different feeds on social media, because let's just be honest, that is just kind of the reality of where we're at. It's one of the things we do for entertainment to stay up to date on the news, what have you. What are some of the go-to tips that you have for, you know, helping people sort through all this advice that they see online? Again, what are things that people can look out for?
Most issues are more complex than a very quick clip. And so I think trying to find out more information and maybe not taking everything for face value would be one thing, just to sort of be curious. That would be good. And I also think looking at the credentials of the person that is delivering this information, you know, I said there's a lot of, one of my biggest things is like slowing down, thinking about what's being said, looking for things like, you know, a sense of urgency, those hyperbolic terms like for everyone, or it's a quick fix, or anything that like over promises something. Like, you're not going to apply a skin cream and all of a sudden your skin is just going to be glowing if you, let's say, have acne, and then all of a sudden it's cleared up. That doesn't happen, right? And common sense tells me that doesn't happen in a day. It's not a quick fix. You know, there's more to it. So just be careful of like promises that sound too good to be true. Also, if someone is being sponsored by said product, not to say there isn't truth and value in what the person is saying, but again, it just causes you to question. I think you have to be your own investigator. Sure. And all of these little things, pausing, thinking through, and I understand it's not always as easy to think through when you really have no basis in it, but if you can find some credible content curators, you know, if you're getting nutrition information, find those credible scientists. Maybe find the dissenting opinions if you're willing to put in the time so that you can understand it as a whole, and then find that middle ground that might be the truth, where one person's on one end of the spectrum, one's on another, you know. I think there's a lot of little tips that I apply. But I'm also probably going to go a little more extreme. And like I said, I'm going to go take that reference and go find the paper and then go read the paper and understand it better. And I know that's not realistic for everyone to do. But if you're at Virta and you have a Virta Health Coach, you could always ask your coach a question.
So here's what we're going to do.
Okay.
We're going to post your email address and your phone number to our podcast. And what people can do, anytime they have a claim, they can just email your personal email or call you anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and be like, hey, what do you think about this claim? How does that sound? Should we do that?
Yeah, that sounds terrible. But what I will say is if you posted my email, what I would offer was how, like step by step, how to go through the claim to do that work themselves, right? Like I think there's value in taking an example claim or product or something and, you know, step by step how to kind of break it down and get out of it what's factual, what might be a little bit inflated, and go from there. But yeah, I think in general, just being cautious. And also one thing I'll say, Teresa, you said skincare comes up a lot for you.
Your tips are great. Thank you for being on the show. So everyone, this is Dr. Brittany Volk, again, the executive director of the Ketogenic Foundation and one of the original Virtans. So Britt, it was so fun having you on. I can't wait till you come back and we get to dive into something else super duper fun. So thanks again.
Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review on Apple or Spotify. And if you'd like to regain control of your metabolic health and feel like yourself again, check us out at Virta.com. That's V-I-R-T-A.com. Your Life Reset is for informational purposes only and shouldn't be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Contact your provider if you suspect you have a medical problem. I'll chat with you all again soon. Until then, stay inspired, my friends.